flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Welcome on into the Phillies Today podcast. I, of course, am your host, Dan Wilson, here. And listen, the offseason continues to roll along. We are now at the back end of January here. The Eagles obviously continue to march on with their season at the final destination, making the Super Bowl in New Orleans in a couple of weeks, which provides a nice distraction here in the city of Philadelphia from the baseball team. I mean, by the time, I remember when the Eagles won the Super Bowl in the 2017-18 season, a couple things about that from a Phillies perspective. Number one, Rhys Hoskins went to the game, which was pretty cool. And then it was so close to spring training that I remember someone asking Aaron Nola later in the year, like, where he watched the Super Bowl, and he was like, I was already in Florida getting ready for spring training, because pitchers and catchers, basically, and especially with the Super Bowl being a week later now that it is, pitchers and catchers report later that week. So the bridge from the beauty, perhaps one of the most underrated things about the Eagles making the Super Bowl or having your team make the Super Bowl in any given city, assuming that city has a Major League Baseball team, is that less than a week later, you're already into pitchers and catchers. Truck Day is going to be just a couple of days after that team, you know, wins the Super Bowl. It's going to be right around, you know, that parade in the case of 17-18, or even if they lose, you're right into baseball mode. The football season pretty adequately bridges football into baseball season, which is very, very cool. Again, I've stated it on here, stated on Twitter at my handle, at Dan_Wilson4, my admiration for Truck Day. You're sending down the Gatorade cups, the gloves, the baseballs, the golf clubs, and of course the one Fanatic hot dog launcher. Always a treat seeing that in the Truck Day post. There are plenty of Eagle seasons where they lose early. They lose, you know, they don't make the playoffs. Then you kind of are just stuck with Sixers and Flyers regular season action for a while there, and that's, listen, it's okay, but it's not the same thing. It's not the same level of excitement. And for baseball first fans, this, and then maybe football second, this is the best possible scenario. So I just wanted to get that right off the bat. Do not take this for granted. Do not lose sight of the fact of what this Eagle season, going as deep as it is having an effect on the Phillies. Now, as far as the Phillies themselves, this is been pretty quiet on the Phillies front as of late, with the Hall of Fame voting come out about a week ago. Billy Wagner, former Philly Billy Wagner, of course, will get in on his 10th try. Ichiro got in, CeCe Sabathia got in. It was already known that Dick Allen would get in from the Veterans Committee. And as far as Chase Utley, he improved his voter count by about 10%. Gives me some hope that he'll get in one day, but not quite there yet, and probably not quite there for the next couple of years. So good news for him, but not the ultimate, you know, path. I don't think Ryan Howard or Jimmy Rollins, I think both of those guys ultimately fall short. But I think Utley has the best shot. And I think we had that reaffirmed, learned that slash reaffirmed that last week. But as far as the Phillies front of like who's on the team, like things have been pretty quiet. I saw Johan Rojas has been playing in the Dominican League World Series, which is pretty cool. Pretty intense game seven of that a couple of nights ago. So that was pretty, pretty cool. But as we look forward to this team, I had been teasing for a while here that I wanted to do a bullpen specific show. Like I wanted to do a Phillies bullpen show here on Phillies Today, because when you get into the weeds of it, like the roster is relatively similar. The depth chart of this team is relatively similar entering the year 2025. The starting lineup is relatively similar. Yes, Max Kepler's playing in left. I don't even know what, like, catcher's the same, first base, second base, shortstop, third base, all the same, center field, right field, basically the same, DH the same, so lineup's the same, the rotation, certainly you add Jesus Luzardo, which, you know, maybe moves Taijuan Walker back a spot and could also move him into the bullpen. We'll get to him there in a second. You made a few bullpen, like the bullpen is the unit of this team that probably looks the most different. I think that is fair to say. The bullpen on this team certainly looks the most different of any unit on the ball club. And I could go one by one. Well, we will go one by one here in a second. I don't feel, just as an overall unit kind of thing, don't feel as great about this unit as I did, say, I don't know, a year ago. I think losing Jeff Hoffman, let's start with that, is a big deal. I think the fact that you lost your fireman, your closer, I mean, well, not your closer, but your highest leverage guy to the Blue Jays. Now, there did seem to be something really wrong with his medicals. Maybe the Phillies knew that. The Blue Jays said no. The Braves said no. The Orioles said no. The Braves said no. The Blue Jays ultimately said yes. So maybe that's where, maybe that's how it happened and why it happened that way. However, you know, as it boils down here, it looks like we're going to be counting on a lot from guys in roles who we probably don't feel comfortable with. So let's go kind of one by one here. The obvious high leverage guy left on the team, the best reliever on the team, based upon just how the depth chart is kind of shaking out here, is Matt Strom. He had a 1.87 ERA in 2024, 66 appearances, 62 and two-thirds innings pitched, 18 holds, 3 saves. Really wasn't a saves guy, more of like a seventh, eighth guy, lefty specialist, as much as you can do that in the era of no loogies and the 3-batter minimum, but a 0.75 whip, like 79 strikeouts. The guy was amazing last year. Like Matt Strom was amazing, deservedly an all-star for the Phillies in the year 2024. And great. Very happy to have him back on the team. If I need an out, probably from either the right or left-hand side of the plate, more than likely I would think that's the guy Rob Thompson goes to. I mean, he's just the most reliable guy on the team flat out, has the best track record, certainly with no Hoffman. So I think we can agree that, or most people can agree, Strom, you know, just kind of is that guy. Also one of the most now longest tenured relievers on the team. I know when you look at bullpens throughout baseball, it's not always necessarily saying a whole lot, but that is kind of where things stand with Matt Strom, and I think he's by far the number one on this team. Let's go to another lefty here in Jose Alvarado, and a guy who I don't feel as great about here in the year 2025, and I think they're going to have to advertently or inadvertently ask for a bigger role out of him. They're absolutely going to have to get a decent chunk of contribution as the bullpen stands right now. Again, we don't know what, maybe something will get done before spring training, maybe during spring training, maybe at the trade deadline, whatever. I'm just talking strictly right now. Jose Alvarado is slated as one of three lefties in your bullpen, probably your second best, and one of your three or four best and most experienced relievers in general. So there are going to be nights where Jose Alvarado has to get the ball in a big spot and has to be able to keep that ball in the strike zone and not pitch to one of his 28 walks in as he did in 2024 and pitch to a 4.09 ERA. Like he didn't in a 1.25 whip. Like, he was a high wire act really to watch all season long. Like, he just was not reliable. There were nights where you could tell he had it. The most annoying thing with Alvarado is if he comes in, you can usually tell after a few pitches whether he has it or doesn't have it. And there are so many times where, again, in the era of the three batter minimum, he throws just a couple of pitches, you can tell he doesn't have it, and Thompson's left with no choice but to stick with him, or literally the only other option would be him fake an injury. But like, basically, you're stuck there with him, and you hope he doesn't throw one of the backstop or hit a guy in the back by accident, or even worse, like, just start walking guys or get a throw a get me over pitch that gets blasted over the fence. That's kind of what we've come to expect out of Jose Alvarado. And I kind of view him as a guy who, yeah, you can have him on the roster, but you're doing yourself a disservice if you really expect anything out of him. And I think the Phillies have put themselves in a position where it feels like they're expecting things out of him. And that is not good. That is not where you want to be if you're the Phillies. So frustrating on that front, frustrating when you consider who's going to be getting big outs in this. I mean, and what if Strom gets hurt? Now he's your best lefty. Like, I hope he bounces back. I hope I'm wrong about him. He pitched to a 1.74 in 2023. Maybe that guy exists. We've seen bullpen guys league-wide go up and down and up and down. So really need Alvarado to be that guy, not necessarily confident in it. Let's go to a righty here, and a guy who the Phillies acquired this offseason in Jordan Romano. Now, Romano, he feels like he fits into that Carlos Estevez role, like a not necessarily your best reliever, but your closer, your experienced guy. But even he, like, you want to talk about already being in dire straits if one of these guys goes down, and I mean, then you might need like innings from Taiwan Walker, frankly, out of the bullpen. But if even one of these guys goes down, and Jordan Romano has an injury history, only didn't even pitch 14 innings in the year 2024. He just didn't have like 13.2 innings in the year 2024. He pitched to, I had it here in my notes, a 6.59 ERA. Not great. Now, he was an all-star in 22 and 23. So again, the track record is there, and he was really, really good even in the years before that. But last year, injured, wasn't good when he did pitch. You just automatically think he's bouncing back. You're kind of banking on a lot from Jordan Romano. Like, I hope it's there. I hope he lasts over 162. I hope that all of our anxiety about this guy, and granted, we weren't watching him every day in Toronto, but our anxiety about this guy is all for naught. But they more or less made a trade with the Blue Jays, Romano for Jeff Hoffman. And apparently Hoffman had injury history. We didn't really know it. Romano had known injury history. Just hope that the Phillies have gotten the more durable of these two guys. Let's go to a guy in Orion Kerkering who the Phillies are going to need to take another positive step forward in the year 2025 to have a successful bullpen, I would say. Pitched to a 2.29 ERA in 2024, 108 whip, and that was better from his year in 2023. His biggest thing is just throwing his fastball for strikes, very, you know, off-speed dependent, very one-pitch dependent, and doesn't create a lot of, you know, mix-up for the hitters. You know, it's funny, I've actually been talking about this recently with the Eagles, which is like when they run the tush-push too many times in a row, that's when the opposing defense starts to stop it. And when you throw the same pitch too many times in a row in baseball, same thing. Like the hitter starts preventing you from getting him out. And sometimes Kirkering doesn't have enough in his bag to go fastball off speed, and really alter those pitches. A little too dependent on his off speed. So you got to be able to throw that fastball for strikes. You got to be able to locate. And so that's the biggest thing for Orion Kirkering. But once again, the Phillies are asking for a big, big role out of him this year. Because again, you know, Strom, Romano, like he's in that number three role. Like he's probably your third best guy. So, big things, hopefully, from Orion Kirkering in the year 2025. Now, Tanner Banks, who the Phillies acquired, again, at last year's deadline from the Orioles, a guy who, listen, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's not like he's at the top end of this bullpen depth chart. That's why I'm kind of getting to him a little bit later here. Orioles, White Sox. He was the one guy they acquired from the White Sox. White Sox. That's my mistake. They got him from the White Sox also at the deadline. They made their other moves, acquired Seth Johnson, sent Sir Anthony Dominguez, sent Christian Pache to Baltimore. But this is a guy they got from the White Sox. In 22 appearances with the Phils last year, a 3.7 ERA, pitched to a 1.32 whip. Only 24 and a third innings pitched. I mean, you hope he can just be competent. He's going to pitch in certainly lower leverage situations than some of these other guys have been mentioning. Another lefty for you out of the pen. He's the third of three. And maybe pitching a lot of sixth innings when the starter can't go that deep. Maybe he just takes down an inning when you're losing. I mean, that's the role I kind of envision for Tanner Banks. And that, you know, that's how I see it. I would guess that's how Rob Thompson deploys him. But as with any of these guys, kind of one to two injuries away from taking on big roles that are, frankly, above these guys' pay grades. Let's go to Jose Ruiz. Guy's been, let's pull him up here. So Jose Ruiz, been with another guy who used to pitch for the White Sox, for what it's worth. Been in the majors kind of for a while. I don't know how many people realize that. I mean, he's certainly gone back and forth majors and minors, but his pitched in a major league game the last, I don't know, let's do the quick math on it here, since 2017, 7 or 8 years. He pitched 52 games for the Phillies in 2024, 3.71 ERA, and a 1.33 whip, and 52 strikeouts. Like, pretty good, you know, pretty good, solid. I wouldn't say he's great. A guy who certainly, I think, at times last year was more dependable than I think anyone probably gave him credit for. I mean, he certainly not a name that overly impresses you, not necessarily overpowering stuff, but knows how to pitch and pitch well. And there were times where Rob Thompson had to put him in situations where, you know, the game's not on the line in the sense there's bases loaded, bottom of the ninth, two outs, but it's on the line in the sense that if he lets it get away from him, the Phillies will have no chance to win that day. So I actually think the stock pointing relatively up on Jose Ruiz. I think he's a good pitcher. I think he's a quality pitcher. Excited, I would say, is the word for what he can do in the year 2025. Wouldn't be excited if he was in like an eighth inning role if, you know, Strom goes down or Kirkering goes down or Lord knows what. But yeah, that's kind of where things stand. And just last thing before I get to this last guy who's Joe Ross. Phillies only have 7 guys in the bullpen right now. Now, they have 6 guys going for starting spots in spring training. As things stand right now, does that mean Taijuan Walker is relegated to the bullpen? kind of hard to envision any other scenario at the moment. I know Scherzer's name's been floating out there a little bit, but it could be Taiwan Walker, which I don't love as a bullpen guy. Doesn't have overpowering stuff, doesn't have swing and miss stuff anymore, but low leverage innings eater. I get it. Every team kind of needs one, especially in a 162 game marathon slate. All right. So the last guy, another guy the Phillies acquired here in the offseason, Joe Ross, who pitched for the Brewers in the year 2024 at a 3.77 ERA. Guy's been around a long time, and obviously going back to the Nationals, and you know, he was a teammate with Bryce with the Nationals, won a World Series down there. He famously opted out during the COVID pandemic in 2020, pitched for the Nationals in 21, hadn't been in the big leagues in 22 or 23, returns in 2024, again, 3.77 ERA. That was in 74 innings, and a total of 25 appearances, last year. So obviously a multiple inning guy, last year, but as of right now in the bullpen, his K's per nine, right around eight, you know, again, not super high, but a guy who can probably help this team out, as of right now. Again, appeared in 25 games last year, started 10 of them. So can sometimes be that swing guy if you need him, can take down multiple innings. He has the length in him, to do so. So relatively excited at the prospect of Joe Ross. But I guess just to put a bow on all of this, it feels like it's a lot of guys where it's, I'm excited at the prospect of this guy. I'm excited at the idea of this guy. I'm excited that if all of these pitchers hit and hit the way I want them to, the bullpen will be solid. But it's kind of just hard to envision a scenario in which this bullpen is better in the year 2025 than it is in the year 2024, or even as good. And that was a real reason, one of the main sticking points, why this team won 95 games, even when they struggled, that there's the bullpen most nights, I know not in the playoffs, but most nights throughout the regular season would come through for them. And so hopefully this is a, you know, a team that can still rely on these guys. I still would like to see him add one more. I don't wish I had a name at the top of my head. It just feels like the buzz around the baseball offseason has just been so dead and so dull. You know, again, with the Hall of Fame voting that Soto signed early, Phillies have made a few marginal moves, but nothing major. No other major free agents really to speak of. I mean, Verlander went to the Giants, but no other major names to really keep an eye on at this point. Kind of if something pops up here in the next couple of weeks before truck day or before spring training breaks camp, that's certainly something to keep an eye on. So that'll do it for today's episode of the Phillies Today podcast. Again, you can get this on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan_Wilson4. By the way, if you enjoy listening to myself and Francisco Rojas here on Phillies Today, you can catch us on WIP every Sunday morning from 2 to 6:30 a.m. Always a fun time, kind of hanging out on the weekend overnights. A lot of times, you know, it's reacting to Eagles this time of year, but very soon it's going to become a baseball-oriented show, which I'm certainly looking forward to a lot coming up here in the near future. Again, that's going to do it for today's episode of the Phillies Today podcast. My name is Dan Wilson. Until next time, have a great day, everyone. And yeah, we're getting that much closer to baseball.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married Don't rent some random suit. At Nix, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nix Menswear, your friend in style.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.